Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Said the campaign was grounded in my love for our country. Just last week, my mother, a first-generation immigrant, got to vote for her daughter for president. Only in America. I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country. But the time has now come to suspend my campaign.
There you go. There you go. Just on the eve of the State of the Union address, and on the day after, of course, the Super Tuesday, where Nikki Haley got slaughtered. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. I mean, she just got completely roasted by President Trump. And as he, I hadn't looked into this, but he had made a comment on his Truth Social that in Vermont it was an open primary, so that. You know, obviously the Biden side was a foregone conclusion, so that may have been the difference maker there. Either way, I figured this was coming. Not surprised that this happened. I do want to give her credit for a short speech. you know, say it quick, be done.
I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in. Our national debt will eventually crush our economy. A smaller federal government is not only necessary for our freedom, it is necessary for our survival. The road to socialism is the road to ruin for America.
It is, and we have lots of problems, as she pointed out.
Our Congress is dysfunctional and only getting worse. It is filled with followers, not leaders. Term limits for Washington politicians are needed now more than ever. Our world is on fire because of America's retreat. Standing by our allies in Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan is a moral imperative. But it's also more than that. If we retreat further, there will be more war, not less.
Yeah, the, America first, sure. But America isolated? Oh, no, that's really bad. That's a really, really bad plan.
As important, while we stand strong for the cause of freedom, we must bind together as Americans. We must turn away from the darkness of hatred and division. I will continue to promote all those values, as is the right of every American.
And so you kind of got a sense of where this was headed, given that she, you know, was holding true to the values that she'd expressed throughout the campaign.
I sought the honor of being your president. But in our great country, being a private citizen is privilege enough in itself. And that's a privilege I very much look forward to enjoying.
So she's basically saying, I don't want to be in the administration. I don't want any kind of future job. I'm good just where I am.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us.
So I wish the best for President or former President Trump, but I also wish the best for Sam the Street Sweeper, and I wish the best for the guy who works down at the post office. It's not unique to Trump. It's not because he's a Republican. I just think that anybody who's going to be president, if he does wind up being president, I just want to make sure that things go well for them, whoever that might be. Not because he happens to be who he is.
I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
Yeah. Let's say that his attitude has been, why do I need to reach out to those socialists, leftists, and wackos, and rhinos, and moderates? And, well, sir, because you need to win the general election, and those people vote, and they don't want to vote for you. Bad, they don't want to vote for you. They don't maybe want to vote for Biden either, but, and some of them won't vote for anybody. But the ones who don't want to vote for either of you, you need enough of them to tilt your way in order to win the general election. And so throwing all of them overboard and saying you don't care about any of them, well, this is not a great strategy for a general election. It's the kind of strategy that gets you a lose in November. And I don't think that's what you want, and that's certainly not what Republicans want.
At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. But I did, of course, I always appreciated the tone that Nikki Haley brought to the conversation. You know, I didn't always agree with her about things. She would have made a fine president. DeSantis would have made a fine president. There's several candidates on the Republican side who would have made a fine president. And, you know, as I've said many times, the better than Biden test is a very, very, very low bar.
I end my campaign with the same words I began it from the book of Joshua. I direct them to all Americans, but especially to so many of the women and girls out there who put their faith in our campaign. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for God will be with you wherever you go. In this campaign, I have seen our country's greatness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, America. God bless you.
Leave with class, leave with dignity, leave with a message that people might remember. And leave quickly. You know, she did all the things right in this speech. So, you know, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I always appreciate that people run for office, even the ones that I can't stand, simply because I think it takes a lot to run for office. And I want the process to be better. I want people to have a choice. And I, you know, the only thing about this that to me is a little bit frustrating is that now all of the rest of us who haven't even voted yet in the primary have no choice. But to be fair, Donald Trump is going to sweep all the rest of the primaries too, right? I mean, even if he had candidates against him because there was no competition. So I can still vote for whomever I vote for. It just doesn't matter, but it wouldn't have mattered anyway, right? So here we go. 517 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Thoughts about this House in Gulf Breeze? I have a lot of thoughts about this. I feel frustrated about this story. You know, this is the story of the Lighthouse Christian Academy has a group between 12 and 20 plus students that are living in a home in Gulf Breeze after there had been a prior incident where not the same kids apparently had been told that they couldn't stay in a certain house that Lighthouse Christian was operating here in Pensacola, or a dorm or something anyway, that because of fire hazard, you know, fire marshal concerns. And now same concerns in Gulf Breeze. Of course, Tanner Stewart and Channel 3 doing this reporting yesterday. A lot of questions that are unanswered, and I'm always really cautious to jump to conclusions until I get, you know, basic questions answered. Question number one, I want to know how old the students are. Are these college students or are these high school students? And I asked a couple of people yesterday, and nobody's quite sure, okay? And so, to me, if you have a 3,000-square-foot, you know, house, and you've got, let's say 12 at the low end, and they're all, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. I mean, that just sounds like college to me. I mean, it might be weird for the neighborhood. It might not be great for what the neighbors want, but that, you know, let's say there's a four-bedroom house and you got three people to a room, one bunk bed and one regular bed. That just, and they've got a, you know, think about a 3,000-square-foot house that you're going to have kitchen, you're going to have common living area, you're going to have a backyard and a porch. And I mean, I don't know, that just, like, that's a house I lived in college. That sounds like a giant nothing to me. Other than, you know, a little weird for a neighborhood. You know, typically you live in those kind of situations in an environment where other houses are doing the same thing. So at that end of the spectrum, eh, you know. On the other hand, what if they're high school students? Well, that's a little weird. But if there's some, you know, supervising adult there on the premises, supervising them as a, you know, some kind of a boarding house-esque thing, I'm not sure how bad that is. I want to know more. Now, if that number gets to be like 20, and if they don't have supervision in the house, yeah, now we got a problem. Right? I mean, definitely a problem. What do the parents of these, again, what's their age? What do the parents know? I just kind of want to know more. And unfortunately, the one guy that went out to greet Tanner at the perimeter and told him he didn't want to be on camera was way too much like the Skanska dude that's like, cut the interview. You know, like, that's not a good look. But I haven't talked to Lighthouse Christian either, and I didn't really pay attention to this story during the day, during business hours, so I haven't had a chance to call them. And I'm always reluctant to, you know, draw conclusions on a case until I can actually ask the people who would be in charge. I think otherwise they do really good work. I understand why the sheriff's office would say, you know, we haven't found any legal violations, the fire marshal's looking into it, but we support it, Lighthouse Christian. I agree with that, okay? So I'm just not sure yet. I'm not sure if it's a big problem, a little problem, no problem, you know, just not really sure. So 521 on News Radio 92.3, maybe I'm too slow to draw conclusions, but that's my take, especially, again, when you haven't really heard from, you know, I always like to let the person give their side. Okay, because otherwise I've made a lot of mistakes in my life judging a situation before I was able to hear from the people on the other side of things. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go, who to buy from, or, you know, maybe is it even time yet, right? You know, if you're like me, you put up with the car way too long. I do. I put up with the computer way too long. I put up with, you know, irritation, annoyance. I just stick with things because I'm lazy and I know it'll take time to solve it, and I'd rather complain than fix. Okay, that's just me. Maybe I'm not the only one. And so if you've gotten to the place where, like, every day you're irritated at your car, it's time. You know, you're telling yourself it's time. So go to Frontier, look around, find a car that is nice, that you can afford, that you can drive for another 100 or 200,000 miles, and stop having to hate your car. That's what they specialize in. Cars that are a year, 2, 3 years old, you know, low miles, great condition, reliable, almost new. That's the idea. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, darn it, Mr. Lamar. You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Blazing Saddles, one of the greats. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Alabama Governor Kay Ivey has signed an in vitro fertilization protection bill that was passed yesterday. The new law would protect providers from lawsuits and criminal prosecution for the damage or death of an embryo during IVF services. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says he's expecting interest rates to begin coming down, but he just can't say exactly when that'll happen. Powell also says lawmakers are keeping an eye on risk on further inflation risks. And Steely Dan keyboardist Jim Beard has died at 63. According to Billboard, Beard passed away on March 2nd. The exact cause of death has not been released, but a spokesperson for the band says it was due to a sudden illness.
Okay. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 526 on News Radio 92.3. Well, there was a, unexpected might be a bit strong, but a sound that had not been heard in the vicinity for a while yesterday, just south of Cervantes, east of 9th Avenue. Was the sound of the Malcolm Young gym coming down, collapsing. Belmont DeVilliers had run a Facebook Live. It was kind of funny because they were watching the excavator. I'm terrible at identifying construction equipment. But, you know, the giant yellow thingy was using the big bowl thingy to, you know, the shovel. Anyway, and it was demolishing it. And they had kind of turned the camera sideways, not sideways, but, you know, looked away to look at the crowd. There's a small group of 20 or so people there. And then it collapsed and they looked back and the thing was flat as a pancake, you know. And I'm like, oh, you missed the money shot. But, you know, they got... I mean, I didn't get it at all. I didn't go down to watch, but I'd heard that it was, you know, being demolished, and I thought, well, other people will cover it, and they did. But look, the Malcolm Young gym doesn't exist anymore. I find this frustrating because I don't think that the mayor had to go and do it so fast. If it were me, I would have given it enough time to see if the petition gets the requisite number of signatures. Because once you destroy the building, the petition to change the city council's decision has, I mean, what can you do at that point, right? And I asked this question of him. I said, you know, hey, why don't you wait? You know, why don't you give it time to, and he said, well, you know, we're not going to, I'm paraphrasing, you know, we're not going to let every decision of city council suffer the fate of having to be put on hold until somebody decides that they want to pursue overturning it through the charter mechanism of a referendum. And I understand that point of view, but not every decision is going to rise to the level of resistance that this one had. And look, I agree with the decision to destroy the gym. I'm not on the side of the people who wanted to keep it. I don't think it could have been kept, even though, you know, and I talked with them. I don't think that decision, you know, if I'm on city council, I vote to demolish it too. But voting to demolish it is different from voting to demolish it so quickly that the people don't have a chance to exercise their charter opportunity to go the other way. Is it annoying and irritating to have to wait on big decisions like that? Sure, of course. Does that interfere with the process? Sure, of course. But the building's been there for so long and it's been unusable for several months, what's the difference of now versus a month from now? So I can understand why the people are frustrated. I can. And I think they have the right of it in this case. I don't think they would have likely gotten the signatures. I don't think they would have won the ballot initiative. I don't know if they would have even gotten to their, 10,000 or so they had to get to. But it's sort of one of those, you know, inclusive or not inclusive, gracious or not gracious kind of things. And I agree with DC a lot. I love the leadership that he has brought to the city. And I don't think the decision was wrong. I just think that, you know, sometimes you go beyond what you have to do, and that makes for a better situation than doing what you're entitled to do. And yes, they had failed to get a temporary restraining order or even a hearing, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't have gotten one maybe the next time around. You know what I mean?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A crucial night under the spotlight for President Biden, who's age 81, has become an issue for him in his bid for a second term. And tonight he delivers his State of the Union.
The Biden campaign releasing an outline of his speech tonight, including taking swipes at Donald Trump. The memo says Trump would make it easier to buy a gun than access some birth control and reproductive care. Trump would cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Trump will increase tax cuts for big corporations and the super wealthy, making their tax rate lower than many working families.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. Alabama Senator Katie Britt, who's been in the upper chamber just over a year, delivers the Republican response to what the president has to say. And New York Governor Kathy Hochul will deploy 750 National Guard members to patrol New York City's crime-ridden subway system. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 57 degrees right now. Mostly clear skies in Pensacola. Police say the driver of the car that fatally struck a six-year-old girl at Hitzman Park this week was a family member.
We looked into it. There was no crime. There was no alcohol. There was no drugs involved. It was just a tragic accident.
That's PPD Officer Mike Wood. He tells Channel 3 that they won't be releasing information on the victim or the family member involved. The Escambia School District did confirm the girl was a student at Scenic Heights Elementary School. The city of Pensacola has confirmed that all organized activities at that park are being canceled for the rest of the week. Well, Nikki Haley dropped out of the GOP presidential race yesterday, pretty much setting up a Biden and Trump rematch. University of Central Florida political scientist Aubrey Jewett says Trump might be slightly ahead right now, 8 months out.
If we look at the polls, it seems that former President Trump has a small lead on average in most of them, but it does seem like it's going to be close.
Jewett says President Biden has a few things that are working against him. Number one, the economy. A lot of people still concerned about inflation. And number two, the perception that he's too old for the job. Well, people who buy hemp-based products could be affected by a vote in Tallahassee. State lawmakers approved a bill yesterday restricting the making, buying, and selling of hemp extract and banning Delta-8 THC. Republican State Senator Colleen Burton introduced SB 1698, which limits the amount of THC to 5 milligrams per serving or 50 milligrams per package. Opponents say that could lead to the arrest of those who use hemp-based products like CBD. State Representative Tommy Gregory sponsored the bill in the House. He said the bill is more about closing a loophole that manufacturers used to make their products intoxicating. Now, the election's still a couple of years away, but one South Florida lawmaker is considering a run for governor. Parkland Democratic Congressman Jared Moskowitz tells Politico that he's looking at running in 2026, although he does say it is super early. He's currently in his first term representing the 23rd district in Florida. Right now, 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful sunny day today with temperatures warming up near 75 degrees. Clouds moving in late in the day with temperatures dropping into the 60s overnight. For Friday, very cloudy start to the day with a chance of rain into the evening hours, high near 72, low Friday night near 67. Showers and thunderstorms move in Friday evening going into Saturday morning. A few storms could be strong, slight risk of severe weather. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 56 in Pensacola, 57 in Gulf Breeze, 53 in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. Summer is just around the corner, and we are thrilled to offer Explore Summer Camps to provide weeks of fun and education for your school-age children to enjoy. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we share the many camps available this year and how you can get your camper signed up. Tune in today at 9 a.m. to learn more. That's today on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Tax season is here. And it's time to turn your refund into peace of mind with Jim's Firearms. Jim's Firearms is your go-to destination for top-notch personal protection. You're also going to want to secure your spot for one of their upcoming concealed carry classes. Use your refund wisely and invest in safety. Check out their wide selection online at jimsfirearms.net or visit the store in Pensacola at the corner of Sereno Road and Blue Angel Parkway. Jim's Firearms, protecting what matters most.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
So per each hotspot, we're making generic recommendations on the types of adaptation strategies that you could pursue. A lot of this revolves around enhancing drainage and conveyance and storage capabilities, looking also at seawalls and shoreline projects, adjusting your tailwater condition and managing and designing your stormwater system to accept the fact that you're going to have sea level rise that's going to reduce downstream capacity for drainage overall.
So this is a presentation given by Aaron Dady to the Pensacola City Council agenda review on Monday. Of course, the City Council meeting is tonight. And this was just an assessment of vulnerability to storm and storm in connection with sea level rise. I've said before, I'll say again, I'm pretty much a skeptic when it comes to global climate change, sea level rise, and all of that stuff. But, you know, an awful lot of people do believe that it is happening, and whether it's caused by people or not caused at all or, you know, whatever, natural, it doesn't really matter. It's worth looking at the effect if it does come. And so, yeah, if you have more water outside, then you're going to have a hard time getting rid of the water inside the city. You know, from the land to the water, that's the challenge. And, you know, there's all kinds of consequences connected with that, from retention ponds to conveyances. That's getting the water across. That's the street. That's the pipes. That's all that stuff. And so, you know, it was an interesting presentation. And certainly we know that even if you don't particularly believe in climate change or sea level rise, the issue of managing stormwater and dealing with, you know, major storms is certainly a problem for us in Pensacola. Yesterday I had a chance to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves about this and other matters. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. So just kind of, I wanted to get, you know, you guys didn't really respond much. I mean, it was her presentation, and then there was about 3 minutes of, yeah, everything goes, let's go to the meeting. But your thoughts on what she was saying in terms of, you know, what the city should be doing for improving its stormwater facilitation and solutions and, you know, resiliency?
Yeah, you know, I think we all as citizens would agree that we can do better in stormwater for our city, just because of friends we know, neighbors we know, that when we have a big rain event, it affects them, and disproportionately so. And so this study is not only it gives us the information to really reinforce that in a data-based way, but it also equips us, most importantly, I believe it equips us to go address those issues, be it with grants, with other opportunities, that we're not just saying, hey, we need a grant for more stormwater because we promised that we've got a stormwater issue.
Right.
It's that now people can see it in black and white, or I guess in a better case, in red, yellow, green, and blue, those maps that are pretty alarming in some of those instances that she showed. So Cynthia Cannon in our planning office has really taken this up. This has been a year-long process to have this, to one, understand what's in front of us, but two, to have some opportunities. And you may remember from budget time, one of the things that we have to address is the stormwater assessment in the city. We have to. We right now, it should be about $120 to $140 just to keep to maintain what we have in the city. And it's at $80 on average right now. And so we can keep doing that if we want. It just, we won't be able to clean out our stormwater ponds,
right,
and we won't be able to address what's directly in front of us. So it's nice to have something that gives us real black and white data of exactly what the issues that we have and what our biggest issues are as well.
And I thought it was also, a good note, again, if you take for granted the premise, okay, which I don't, but if you do, that sea levels are getting higher, that puts us in a different problem when it comes to storm surge. And she mentioned this, that, 3 feet of storm surge against a 1 foot average below grade water level versus a 2 foot or a 3 foot or a 0 foot, those are fundamentally different things. And so areas that were not vulnerable before become vulnerable because when the water is higher, the surge affects it fundamentally in a different way, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also it gets detailed enough to give us priority areas too. It's not just, hey, here's this dilemma that's coming for the city as a whole.
Right.
It's kind of, hey, all right, if you are going to address these areas, and again, me and you have talked many times about we're addressing one in a big way with Hollis T. Williams and all the $30 million of stormwater infrastructure we're going to be able to put there.
Right.
But it's kind of nice to have that roadmap to say, all right, well, if we do run ourselves into a $5 million, a $10 million grant, where would we want to put it? And it just equips us, again, moving forward to try to address the biggest priorities that we have.
I wanted to ask you about this public camping law that the state is working on that looks like it's on the verge of passing. The Senate just passed it. And I would expect the governor to sign. I think the House has passed it also, if I remember correctly. And the short version of it is, it seems like they're kind of trying to do what we did with the under I-110 encampment. The idea is the city is going to be required to move people off of private and public property if they are camping there, and then create a place where they are offering to them to be, where you can bring services and security and water and toilets and things like that. That place would not be able to be in any one place more than 1 year. But I don't know. I haven't been following this all that closely, but it seems generally like an okay thing if it's going to reduce random camping around all the places. But your thoughts, I assume you've been paying a little more attention to it.
Yeah, and it's relatively, new-ish in terms of, state news coming through. So,
right.
So I don't have full understanding of chapter and verse on every part of it, but what I guess I'll answer it this way. What would I be looking at? What I'd be looking at is, what does the city's obligation become? And as you can imagine, like many things in Florida, they're often written for cities much larger than us,
right,
in terms of needs much larger than us, and also have infrastructure and manpower much larger than us. And so that's what I'm always looking at with any legislation in Tallahassee is, how does it affect the 55,000 here and our ability to do our job? I'd have to look into all the details to say, is that good? Is that not good? I certainly understand the frustration of folks being able to camp on public property. I can certainly sympathize with that. But what we'll have to do in replace of that is what I'm going to be paying close attention to. At the end of the day, these are our public spaces that we share together, and they were not built nor constructed nor intended for anyone to be able to camp there in perpetuity. That's not what they're designed for. That's what I'll really be paying close attention to is
what comes out.
City of Pensacola's obligation become if this were to pass.
And by the way, that's how I read the ordinance too, is that Senator Martin and the rest of the senator basically saying, look, you can't camp on streets. They weren't built for that. You can't camp on sidewalks. They weren't built for that. You can't camp in parks, and you can't camp in trails because they were not built for that.
Right.
But we can't keep saying that if we don't have something that is built for that, and if we don't have shelter space, let's create an outdoor area where they can do the camping on a space that's designated for that purpose, so that we can't just say no, no, no here and here, but we can actually say yes to somewhere else. And as you say, I agree. Let's see what the final product winds up being. You guys did something recently that I really like. You and I have talked before about this project in New Orleans that is kind of amazing, that is being used as maybe a pattern for developing the Baptist property, maybe on a smaller scale could be used for developing even the Malcolm Young property. I was kind of curious, and the mix of incomes in this project, I love all of that. Who went? I don't even know. Did anybody from city council go with you?
Yes, we had Councilman Wiggins and Councilwoman Broughton were there.
Oh,
as
great.
Well as we had a great group. And,
it's like 40 people, right?
We got on the bus. To have 40 people, give or take, either ride over and, you know, to give a day ultimately to their community. You know, regardless of what happens, whether this is what happens at Baptist, whether we take the property or not, there's lots of what ifs, of course,
right,
at this early in the game. But to have 40 people across all different parts and aspects of our community to be there and to give a day of their life to come see what right may look like for us, I think was really amazing. And so, what was really cool too is I've been over there before. I've met with the Bayou District folks a couple of times, and that this is why you do something like that. There are questions that I haven't asked, you know, that someone from a different perspective, whether it be where they grew up, how they grew up, or what they're doing now in their career, in their passion in life. They ask questions that we may not have asked, you know, and that's exactly why you engage folks like that, is to say, hey, you know, you lend us your brain power and your expertise about, you know, what this could be and what concerns you may have.
Right.
And so, I think it was really valuable in that sense.
And you know, you mentioned yesterday in the press conference, having such a diversity of viewpoint and experience and endeavor really is going to make sure that you bring all of the right elements of out of the presentation or out of the people who are available to answer those questions. So I totally agree with you on that way of approaching it. We always like to tomorrow night's city council meeting is going to be 8 minutes long. Well, I mean, other than public forum, which God only knows. You never know what's going to happen with public forum. Not a whole lot on the agenda tomorrow night, but, you know, as the agenda review showed, being, you know, other than the presentation, I think it was about 6 minutes long altogether. So I always like to end with a lightning round, something fun, fast, whatever. First question, is there, this week was, I think Monday, was National Snack Day. D.C. Reeves is snackety hungry in the afternoon. What is his go-to snack?
Unfortunately, a lot of times it's prioritizing whatever's available, which is not the best health habits. Don't do that, kids. But I would say
maybe ask it a different way. What little bag of food, when you see it available to you, like at a buffet or a party or a whatever, what's the one that gets you the most excited? You're like, oh, give me that. I got to have it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say some kind of chips. I mean, they're just, it's easy, it's quick. You know, I like Doritos, I like Lay's, I like. But I thought I was going to give you sour candy. I mean, that's my go-to.
Okay, all right, I got you. Fair enough. When you are texting, you're younger. When you are texting, what level of grammar and punctuation do you engage in? Do you capitalize first letters? Do you use periods? Do you use commas?
This is a great question. I'm glad anybody who gets a text from me now can sympathize. It's not much, which is unfortunate. I was a journalist, and it's embarrassing to say. It's like no punctuation really at all, and it's usually because I'm moving fast, you know, and just wanting to buy.
Yep.
But I could see the recipient being upset with me about, you know, being terse, which I really am not. I'm just trying to get it knocked out. You know? Very transactional.
One space or two after a sentence for you?
Oh, absolutely one. Actually, two kind of frustrates me. I don't know.
Okay. We'll try to keep working on a relationship.
It was someone else. Yeah.
last one for you. Name something that when you were a kid, you thought was going to be a big deal and you were going to have to worry about. And as an adult, turns out not to be that big of a deal. My favorite example of this is like quicksand. You know, I thought there was going to be quicksand everywhere based on TV.
Yeah.
And now it turns out not to be a big thing. So something that from your childhood you were worried about that turns out that's really not that much of a problem.
Quicksand's a great one, actually. That's a great example. Probably, alligators or sharks any time I was ever swimming. I would think that would be that's my concern. Yeah, I hope that's not how I go now that I've said this on radio. But that's
oh well, we'll play it at the funeral. It'll be fine.
I would say that concern's been mitigated somewhat.
At DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time, and we'll look forward to the meeting tomorrow night and then the interview next week. Thank you so much, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
we kind of lost him on a weird tone there for a second. He's like, all right, we're moving on. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a home to sell or you're thinking about buying or both, which is pretty common, people do both at the same time, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're just fantastic. I mean, I've been talking about her for several years. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's great. You know, I wish we could go back in time and have Christina as our first realtor buying and selling. Oh, man. Because I think about who we did have. Anyway, you learn a lot. And, you know, it's great to have somebody on your side who really understands the process and can, you know, walk you through it and answer your questions and, you know, make you feel safe. You know, because in the beginning it's so stressful and you don't know what's happening. And it's, you know, a lot of things can go in a weird direction. And, you know, she just won't let that happen. Takes care of you. Sold 175 homes last year. I mean, that's does kind of speak for itself. Three a week. It's okay. You know, that's an okay rate of sales if you're doing homes. Great at helping you buy homes. Even if you're buying a new home, she can get them to, you know, work with them to have them buy down your points and do other things that can benefit you that you might not think to ask about, but she knows. No problem. She can do that stuff. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Physical activity can make your life better. Spring is a great time to begin reaching your movement goals. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is celebrating National Minority Health Month and promoting breastfeeding for all babies by holding the All Moms, All Babies 1 Mile Color Walk or Run on April 13th. This free family fun event will be held at the Baghdad Mills Site Park beginning at 10 a.m. Call 850-983-5250 to pre-register or for more information, visit health.gov/moveyourway for tips on how to get active.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10:30 and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
My name is Tasca, and I started working here 20 years ago.
I'm Diana, and it's been 12 years for me.
Hi, I'm Norma, and 20 years is my number.
I'm Sandy, and it's been 9 years for me.
And I'm Jeff, and I'm the General Sales Manager, and I'm inviting you to join our sales team here at News Radio 92.3. If you have sales experience and desire for a career that is fun, exciting, while working with local and regional businesses and with an uncapped income, we would like to hear from you. Send your resume to hr@newsradio1620.com. ADX Communication is an equal opportunity employer.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Terrible idea. Was I talking to you?
This is Dr. Ronald Quincy from Research, pretty much the smartest male on the planet. You might want to listen to him.
I can serenade and gently play on your heartstrings. Be a Valentino just for you.
So, not to, like, kick off your Thursday morning with something that's super gross and weird and will make you feel icky all day, but here we go! Did you hear the story about the fundraiser that the kids did? Not here, but did you hear the story about the fundraiser that the kids did at the school? Where they, this is in Oklahoma, where they had a competition where kids were sucking each other's toes in the gymnasium for charity. Judging by the looks I'm getting from the newsroom and from Jake, no. Apparently nobody heard this story. Oh, it's worse. It's worse. It's there's just no delicate way to put it. The idea was that they would put peanut butter on the toes.
Oh, even worse.
And then the fellow students would suck the peanut butter off the... I'm not lying. There's video. It's, there's... Here, this is little taste, so to speak. I mean, you can't hear him doing much.
He is devouring them!
Know what's weirder, the thing itself or the fact that people were like, oh, let's film this, looks good, looks like good stuff. I mean, what would it have taken for them to stand up and say, what are you doing? No. Now, not to be confused with somebody who might defend the charity fundraiser, but do let me point out that they did raise a fairly substantial amount of money. $152,000! People will pay to watch anything kinky. 437-1620. Now, the initial reports were that it was like kids receiving? I don't know. Kids licking. And teachers being licked. And it turns out it was everybody's students. Does that make it okay? Oh, man, you just, I mean, fire everybody. Isn't that a fire everybody kind of thing? Like, you all need to go. However, I don't care. We can't trust none of y'all with our kids. So, there you go.
Time to review the background checks on all that faculty and staff.
Just when you, I mean, you know, you think, oh, you know, a boarding house home in Gulf Breeze is a big story. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer truck.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Wow. Well, I just need a second to just compose myself. All right.
Yeah, there's it.
Like they couldn't just see who could maybe eat the most peanut butter, like out of the jar or something?
Yeah, or maybe make them eat peanut butter and then recite
I'm
the Pledge
of
Allegiance.
Like, you know, Jim in the planning meeting. You know what we could do?
Got a great idea, guys. Oh, well, police are on the lookout for at least three suspects in connection to a shooting in Philadelphia. Apparently, eight teenagers were shot yesterday at a bus stop there. The victims were all students at a high school and were waiting for the school bus before those shots rang out. Two of them were critically wounded. Jurors have convicted Rust Armor Hannah Gutierrez Reed on involuntary manslaughter charges for the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Hutchins, of course, was killed during that incident on the set of Rust a couple of years ago. And ex-owner Elon Musk says that the social media platform is now considering getting rid of showing how many likes and reposts a post gets. That was from a press conference on Wednesday. Musk said that info could clutter content on the service.
Sorry, I turned my mic off. So that's really interesting because, number one, that would, I think, make them excluded from the Florida law.
That's what I was just wondering.
I think that would put them out of the... I forget what the various parameters... I know infinite scrolling addictive feature, but I think one of the key addictive features is likes and notifications. So that's one thing. I kind of love the idea. Having some popularity measure helps you figure out whether the thing is substantial enough in other people's opinion, you know, to know whether to pay attention to it or not. But at the same time, why do you need that? If an idea is an idea and an idea is worth looking at, you want it in your feed, then you want it in your feed. You know, and I suppose they're right that it is a form of clutter. What would people do if they didn't know how to judge that another idea was popular and just had to judge the idea based on the idea? I don't know. It's interesting.
Judge it on its merits alone?
Exactly.
What kind of craziness is that?
What it makes me think of is so many times I have said that I think that political polling, for example, ought to be illegal. You ought to just go vote for the person that you want to win instead of voting for the person that you think has a chance of winning because you've listened to what everybody else thinks. And you know, so there's something of that in this, that just look at the ideas on the basis of the ideas. And, you know, the book was written, and I don't know how many people like the book, but I like the book. You know, there's something about that that I find pretty appealing. Instead of the herd mentality concept of, oh, that's a real popular post, I better pay attention to that one. I mean, I assume they would still track that stuff internally, but I don't know. Interesting. 559 on News Radio 92.3. David, thanks so much for that update. What else do we have going on? Oh, the Southern, I keep wanting to say Southern, Sun Belt Conference Tournament. We got tickets for that to give away later on today for the Men's Championship, by the way. And that is going on all this week. And the Gulf Breeze Arts Festival comes up the 23rd and the 24th.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.